Our second reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of our Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Merciful Lord, may you make the meditations of my heart and of my mind good in your sight. May they fill this space with the message you intended me to share. May you be a comforting presence amongst those who are hurting, and may we ever be aware of the needs of those around us. Amen. I was in the library this past Tuesday, reading commentaries on this passage and doing some homework, when one of my friends came up to me and he said, "What are you doing? It is the second day of class and you're already in here? You have got to be kidding me." And I told him I was preaching on the wedding at Cana when Jesus turned water into wine. And I have some homework to do already, buddy, unlike somebody. He rolled his eyes and shook his head and started laughing at me. I've known this guy for 3 years. He's graduating with me. We are looking at some of the same advanced master's programs, and we share many of the same hobbies. So needless to say, this guy knows me. I spend a lot of time with him. And you know what advice I got from him on preaching this passage? He said, "Just get up there and say, 'Jesus loves the party,' and leave." I chuckled, just like you did, and said, "I'll let you be the one to get up there and say that." You'll be happy to know I'm not going to talk about that. This passage today is one that has often been collapsed into something trite, simplistic, and often a vehicle for many funny jokes like the one above. Don't get me wrong, I love a good joke as much as the next guy, but not at the expense of a defenseless story. Do we have any country music listeners present with us today? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. I'm one of them too. As country singer Miranda Lambert sings in her song, "Heart Like Mine," "I like Jesus because he drank wine. He could understand a heart like mine." I don't know if I would simplify this passage to Miranda's lyric or as something as simple as "Jesus loves to party." The book of John is one of my favorite gospels to read because there's so many layers to everything. Everything is so complicated. This story is not found, nor is it mentioned in the Synoptic Gospels, making it unique to the book of John. The wedding at Cana and the transformation of water into wine is the first miracle done by Jesus, and it begins Jesus' public ministry to the world. This was the inaugural event of the ministry. This miracle story has all the elements of a traditional miracle story and answers the five W's in 10 verses. And for those of you who do not know what the five W's are, who, what, where, when, why, just so we clarified on that. We are in the section of the book of John called by scholars as the book of signs. It stretches from chapter 1, verse 19, through chapter 12, verse 50. And true to its name, depicts all miracles or signs of Jesus. From this point on, each of the seven miracles in the book of John displays and proclaims some part of Jesus' coming glory as the Messiah and Lord of all. So when Mary, the mother of Jesus, observes that there's no more wine, she goes up to Jesus and tells him, hoping that, being the male of the family, he could address the issue with the host of the party. Jesus responds in what we think is a very disrespectful way, or in a very disrespectful manner, but true to the culture of the time period, his response was very normal and actually a polite response. More importantly, he says, "My hour has not yet come." Mary responds, displaying her faith in her son by asking the servants to do whatever he asks from you. Little did she know, or did she know, that she would lay the groundwork for the miracle to happen. Jesus asks the servant to fill up the stone jars with water. We can gather from this scene that everything around Jesus and the party is rather lavish. The host of the party is not only throwing a massive marriage feast that would have lasted about 7 days, but the host of the party has the capability to access water directly. In the ancient times, clean water was a sacred resource, because it was difficult to acquire. One could not simply drink water that was found on the side of the road or a stagnant pool that one encountered, because more than likely it was not safe to drink. So to have direct access to clean water and have it abundantly was a demonstration of wealth and riches. Similarly, the stone jars used and described here demonstrate this lavishness as well. These stone jars would have no doubt been handcrafted and hold about 20 to 30 gallons of water. So in total, we are talking about 120 to 130 gallons of water. And as the text says, the water was used for Jewish purification rituals. Jewish people would wash themselves if they encountered anything or any person that was deemed unclean. Therefore, the water in these jars restored holiness to the washer. And in our story, Jesus, being a Jewish male and a good, educated Jewish male, would have known the purpose of these stone jars, how hard it was to fill them up with water, and what the water was used for. So once the servants pour the water into the jars and fill them up to the brim, suddenly the water is changed into wine. But not just any wine. The good stuff. The top shelf stuff. Usually the good top shelf wine was served at the beginning of a feast to honor the guests with the finest things, and then later switched out for a lesser quality wine as the feast progressed. The toastmaster tastes this newfound wine and exclaims its excellence to the bridegroom. But shockingly, the Toastmaster continues with the party without paying much attention to what had just happened. But the passage says that because of this miracle, Jesus' disciples put their faith in him, and they went about their way to Capernaum. In case you haven't picked up on it yet, the climax of the story for me is the transformation of water into wine. This transformation is to display the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus took something already deemed special, already deemed holy, and made it something more. Jesus made it more than it once was. To use bad grammar, Jesus made it more special. My friends, it is by being baptized through water we demonstrate our faith in Jesus Christ. But that is not the end of our journey with him. Jesus calls us to be something more as well. It is through Jesus Christ, and it is for Jesus Christ, that we are made and transformed into something more, into something more special. So I say to you all gathered here, let yourselves be transformed by Jesus Christ this day. Don't be scared. We all have doubts, and we are all in this together. But let us leave here with Jesus Christ's grace, that is God's grace, on our hearts and mind. But also, let it be in our actions. Let us demonstrate to the world the glory of Jesus Christ by being more than we once were, by being more special. Let us show the world the love that it urgently needs, the wisdom it desperately wants, and the hope it longs for. But let us not forget. Let us do all of these for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.